Yeah, Hare Krishna, I want to welcome you all affectionately. And we start officially the retreat this evening. But Gaurahari thought it's nice if I give the morning class, and I'm, of course, very happy to do so. I think looking at the crowd of devotees, the majority are will still be arriving. But before I start with my lecture, I just want to say how happy I am to come back to Goloka Dham. I really want to thank the devotees who maintained this project, especially throughout the cold winter, and take care of the deity worship so nicely, take care of the, you know, the trees, and all the rooms and all the buildings. Sometimes when you are in a temple doing daily these things which need to be done, cleaning the kitchen, you know, all these maintenance activities, you may feel a little bit unenlivened. You may think, what's the use? We are here in the midst of the forest, and so much work to maintain a project. But really, I think our temples, especially in the West, are islands in an ocean of misery, ocean of samsara. So wonderful that you maintain. I want to also greet our Hariprasada affectionately. I'm very much looking forward. I have my notebook with many empty pages. And all right, I think we will welcome everyone this evening, because these are the Goloka Dhamis and so on. But just to address you, the Goloka Dhamis, I wanted to say I'm just so full of appreciation. It's such a time sacrifice which you do to maintain these temples. Very, very grateful, and I know that Krishna is preparing a wonderful gift for all of you, which he will give in due course of time. Good, so let us start. Can I please have a pair of cartels? Anjaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vada Dhari yaso danandana braja jana dandana yaso danandana braja jana dandana yaso danandana braja jana dandana yamuna tira mana chane yamuna tira mana chane jaya radha madhava kundya vihane jaya radha madhava kundya vihane Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
One moment
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
On the musical side, we have to go a little slower with all the instruments, including the mridanga. And on the devotional side, please try to sing to Krishna, not addressing Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Jai Jai Radhe Shyam,
Namah Rama, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham, Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham, Jai Radha Madan Mohan, Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada,
Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, as the subject of our lecture, we have today a subject on which we have to work individually. It's about the qualification for entering the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual level, Vrindavan Dham. It's a text which was written in great pain, or a text which was expressed in great pain. It was during the reign of Maharaj Chitraketu, I understand, a very God-conscious ruler. He had desired very much a son, and had received a son due to the blessing of a saint, Angira Rishi, but his co-wives had become so much overwhelmed by envy towards the woman who gave him the child. It was one of his wife's Krita Dyuti, that they had actually poisoned the child due to the envy. In today's lecture, I would like to address this need for every one of us to confront this enemy who sits in our heart, called Matsarya, or enviousness, to overcome him and then be qualified to enter Vrindavan Dham. So the first part of the lecture will be a little bit, we will hear about something not at all desirable, a character trait which is there in all of us, and the second will be how to overcome it.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I need to give this context. The question is asked, what can our execution of Dharma bring us when we maintain envy as we go along our path? I'm trying to get the melody.
Kakshe Muni Japarayo.
Kakshe Muni Japarayo.
Giyanvata Svapara Druha Damena. Giyanvata Svapara Druha Damena. Svadrohat Tava Kopaha. Pada sampidaya chatata dama. Pidada satata dama. Kakshe monija parayo.
Kakshe monija parayo.
Giyanvata svapara druha damena. Giyanvata svapara druha damena. Svadroha tava kopaha.
Svadroha tava kopaha.
Para sampidaya chatata dharma.
Para sampidaya chatata dharma.
Hare Krishna. Someone else, please.
Kakshe Muni Japarayo.
Giyan Vata Svapara
Druha Dharmena. Svadroha Tava Kopaha.
Para
Sampidaya Chatata Dharma.
Thank you. Mata, a Vaishnavi, please.
Sarah.
here we have the text. How can a religious system that produces envy of one's own self and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices a religion? Purport. Any religious system but the process of Bhagavad Dharma, service as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a system of envy of one's own self and of others. For example, there are many systems of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended. Such animal sacrifices are inauspicious, both for the performer and for the animal. Although one is sometimes permitted to sacrifice an animal before the goddess Kali and eat it, instead of purchasing meat from a slaughterhouse, permission to eat meat after a sacrifice in the presence of the goddess Kali is not the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is simply a concession for the miserable person who will not give up eating meat. It is meant to restrict his desire for unrestricted meat eating. Such a religious system is condemned, and therefore Krishna says, Savadamang parityaja mangikang saranam braja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. That is the last word in religion. My dear devotees, this is a beautiful purport. It is long, and I encourage you to read it in your own free time. I will leave the purport here and request you to say with me the pranam mantras to Srila Prabhupada.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sadasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Vaskatyane Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
What is wrong with religion? Well, one aspect is it produces envy towards others. Or I am a Christian and these Hindus are worshipping demons. No, we have in Berlin before the temple, someone sprayed, "Don't worship demons here." It's that's a heavy statement, you know, to write this on a wall of another religious system. That's a sign of envy, no? Or we know how much is going on. There are even wars fought in the name of this is the true belief and you have the wrong belief. And the Bhagavatam says all forms of religions are full of contradictions except for Bhagavad Dham. because distinctions are made of you and I, and yours and mine. And Srila Prabhupada writes, Bhagavad Dharma is not a concocted sectarian belief. There was another one. There are many instances of this. History shows that the followers of religious systems without a clear conception of God have fought with one another. There are many instances of this in human history, but systems of religions that do not concentrate upon service to the Supreme are temporary and cannot last for long because they are full of envy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a song where he has encouraged the followers of Bhagavad Dharma how they should feel when they enter, for instance, a church come before another shrine. They say, here's sung like this, one should then think, oh, here my Lord is worshipped in a different way than I am accustomed to do. But it is it's the same Lord. Here they kneel down, other systems, the yogis sit down and they meditate, they do everything in the mind, and so on. So I think if a devotee hears these subjects, he thinks, yes. I remember when my parents were alive, they always invited me to come during Christmas in the church, and they were surprised that I was singing the loudest. I have a kirtan voice, you know, in these Christian songs. You're so enthusiastic. And I said, yes, I worship. It's the same Supreme who is worshipped here in a different way, different system. But I want to be respectful. And then the parents said, then let us read the Bhagavatam and also study. And then they have a whole set and read. Good. So I think we all are on one page when we discuss like this. Can we now please zoom into a small movement called the Hare Krishna movement and see, is envy there or is there no envy? Perhaps we can even zoom in a little bit more and arrive in the most private place that is our own heart. Are we free from envy? I must say, I'm not. I'm one of the kirtan leaders of this movement, Hare Krishna. At least I'm invited to sing. And when there's someone who sings so much better, so much keeping the notes, I think, oh my God, I'm a little jealous. I sing like a frog, but he sings like a Gandharva. Oh, fee upon me, and so on. It's not that bad, but I'm giving a harmless example. I could give examples about you, because I know you, I'm one of you. But I want to give some clinical example which we can look at the distance. In the Mahabharata, envy is described as a sadness in the heart when we view the success of others. It's a sadness. Oh, why not me? Why not me? Oh, he's so successful. Why not me? And interestingly, this sadness upon viewing the success of others often happens towards those we are a little close with. Kirtaniyas are not so much envious of lecturers, but on other kirtaniyas, lecturers who may not sing so beautifully are not usually envious on pujaris. But on other lecturers, oh my God, he could quote so many verses and I don't know anything. You know, there it happens. Enviousness is the sadness of the heart. It's a problem upon viewing the success of others, usually those who are close. Now the Bhagavatam says, this Bhagavat Purana is understandable only by those who are free from envy. The Bhagavad Gita says, this confidential knowledge may never be spoken to one who is not free from envy. To become free from this disease in the heart of sadness upon viewing the success of others is very, very essential in our spiritual life. The other wives of Marachita Ketu couldn't come to this level when they saw that this one wife, Krita Jyoti, was successful in having a child. They failed to be happy about this. That finally in our family a son has come. No, they felt sadness. Why Krita Jyoti and why not we were successful with giving birth? Biologically everything is in perfect harmony. We have beautiful bodies, good organs, and so on. But she was successful in receiving a child from our husband, and we were unsuccessful. And the sadness turned sour and bitter into this envy. Once I asked a very successful God brother, it was 20 years ago, I said, Maharaj, if I'm very honest with you, I feel a little jealous. I think you are satisfying Prabhupada much more than me because you are so much more Krishna conscious and so much more intelligent to do many things. Can you please help me? You know, usually one shouldn't ask such a question to the person with whom one has a difficulty. But as I said, I was young and foolish and envious. And he was a very kind devotee, my good friend. We are still very good friends. And he quoted a verse from the Ishopanishad, which I thought was wonderful. I will quote this verse today for you, so that you can think about how you might overcome this enemy in the heart, which keeps you from entering Bhagavad Dharma. Here is the verse for you. Yasmin Savani Bhutani. Hari Parshat, we cannot. You always enjoy the Sanskrit recitation. I will just chant it alone in this case. Atmai Babud Vigyanata Tatra Kamoha Kashoka Ekatvam Anupashyata. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What is there as illusion or anxiety for him? I will say it again. One who always sees all the living entities, including the devotees of the Lord, this is my addition to this, as spiritual sparks in quality, one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What is there as I don't know what I wrote here. What is there as illusion or anxiety for him? No. So this is how we start. We see the equality of all living beings. This devotee told me, "You are a disciple of Prabhupada. I am a disciple of Prabhupada." But even elsewise, if we don't refer to our common spiritual master, we are all parts of Krishna. We are all equal. And someone is given this talent by the Lord, someone is given that talent of the Lord. Use whatever you have in the service of Krishna. And know that the success of other devotees is in a way your success, because we are one, we are God brothers, we are one family. When there is in a family someone who does something nice, it's the success of everyone in the family, isn't it? I know here's our devotees from Macedonia, Indira, and her good husband, and her daughter Yamuna is very successful in design, no? Very successful. And of course, they are happy because they don't think, "I can't design, my daughter designs." They feel, "Wow, our family has a designer inside. Wonderful." A happy designer who is Krishna conscious. No? Wonderful. So this is a very important to feel ourselves as part of a family of living beings who are all part of Krishna. They all belong to Krishna. Or in this movement, we are all belonging to this Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It's wonderful. We are all connected with each other. Prabhupada therefore said, everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. Yes. This is the wonderful, this pleases actually Krishna very much. We know that once Maharaj Prithu wanted to conduct 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Now Indra is known by a name which denotes him as the one who has done these 100 sacrifices.
Chata Kratu.
Yes, he has done, I mean, 100 sacrifices, which are so expensive to do, which require so many preparations, so many brahmanas, so many days, so many articles of offering. That is a success, you know. So Indra, who is known as the Shatakratu, which indicates that he had already performed 100 sacrifices, became extremely worried and envious on Maharaj Prithu, who had conducted already 99, and he was now performing his hundreds. So that big sadness came in his heart, which turned sour and came into envy. And he said, "I want to be known
as the Chatakratu. There should not be a second Chatakratu. And therefore, he made three attempts to steal the sacrificial horse. I will not tell the entire story, but he stole him once, this horse. Then Maharaj Prithu sent his son, and when the son approached Indra to take back the horse, he saw, oh my God, this is Indra, this is not an ordinary person. So he, there's a long, it's a elaborate story. Finally, Indra took on the disguise of a sannyasi because he needed to steal the horse a third time. Indra ran away and left the horse the first time when he was pursued. But the third time, he just thought, no one attacks a sannyasi. They can eat as much as they want and steal as much as they want in our society, Hindu society. So he stole the third time. And when the son came and wanted to capture the horse, he saw this time it's a sannyasi, and he left the chase. He came back, but then he was informed it's Indra who has taken the disguise. And although he, the son, Vijitashva, was not going to go against in Indra in the sannyas dress, Maharaj Prithu was drawing his bow and he was ready to punish Indra, especially now where he had taken the saintly dress of a sannyasi to obtain wealth, power, and fame. At that time, when Maharaj Prithu is drawn for a small minute into the mindset of an ordinary person who was hurt by another, who an envious aggressor, no? At that time, Brahma came and intervenes. And he says to Prithu, wait. You should not be envious or harbor ill feelings on Indra now, because you are aware of the path of liberation. Remember, you and Indra both are parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If your teeth bite your tongue, do you smash your teeth? It's a nice example, no? We are all belonging to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are like parts of the same organism, like my teeth. When it happens, while I eat, that my teeth bite my tongue, I don't become angry or envious towards my teeth. I say, well, that was not so nice, but I will not smash my teeth. So in the same way, when someone has understood the equality of all beings, and especially in a movement of Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, you know, when we understand we all belong to each other, then we should not be envious on someone. So, if something happens, I'm quoting the Bhagavatam here, by daiva hatam, providential arrangement, by, you know, by fate, you should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, we enter into tamandam or anda, you know, means dark ignorance. This is a lesson for all of us devotees. As we are interacting with each other and the world,
they are bound to come ill dealings. Mm-hmm. It's bound to happen. It can just happen in the morning when you want to run to the bathroom and it's a real urgent situation for you. You have to reach the destination within the next 30 seconds or there will be a catastrophe. And there is already someone on the bathroom singing very happily and relaxed. Now you have a need, an existential need, and someone is just, you know, occupying the space which you need. Then there's conflict of interest. So it can happen very harmlessly, or it can happen deliberately by someone, but something will happen. And if you don't learn this lesson, then it's not so nice. So Prithu, who was really inconvenienced by Indra, Indra wanted to stop him doing his 100th Ashwamedha Yagya. He made peace with Indra. He took his Avabrita Snan, that means the last bath after a Yagya. For this, stepping back from his own enviousness, from his own covetousness, he was getting the benedictions of the devatas, and Sri Vishnu was so satisfied that he did something which he usually does not do. He appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Prithu. There's a beautiful description. It. He was so satisfied. He wanted to show the Prithu that I really love you for this. So, although the Lord never touches this earth, this region, this composed of the three modes of material nature, he stood down on this on the earth. He made an exception for Prithu. But he leaned a little bit against the shoulder of Garuda to make sure that he would not to show I take the support of Garuda and I'm doing something which is so important for me to show my pleasure to you that I'm even going through some inconvenience for myself. So yes, so this is how to please Krishna, to give up envy and malice, and this is how you can come to Vrindavan. My dear devotees, as all of us enter this material world, we are covered by five forms of ignorance. The first thing is tamas. It's in the third canto, 12th chapter, verse 2. It means we forget our spiritual identity and are covered by ignorance. Then comes the second stage. We begin to misidentify ourselves with our body and mind. And this is called asmita, the ego of developing a sense of I am this body. And from there, we develop attachments and repulsions, raga and vesha, and finally, we are so absorbed, abhinivesha, that we think when the body is finished, everything is finished. We have no connection to our spiritual identity. Now, in this scenario of developing ignorance and false ego, the enviousness also crops up. When one is free from these layers, one can go into the kingdom of God. But as long as one is covered by these, one is held up in the material world. The Vrindavan atmosphere, which we need to cultivate as practicing sadhakas here in this world demands of us to confront our enviousness and to overcome it in these ways, that we understand the equality of all beings as spiritual souls, part and parcel of Krishna. And especially we are happy about those who are engaged in devotional service and do something for Krishna. It's wonderful if someone does something. Here is not the place for envy. It is here is the place for celebration. Oh, wonderful, Prabhu. Oh, wonderful. It's so nice to see how Krishna is giving you so much talent and how are you using it for Krishna. Wonderful. Can I support you? Do you need some prasadam? I usually have a lot. So there is a verse in the 10th canto celebrating this mood and a beautiful purport which I would like to quote both. Verse: Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. And Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport there. Yes, it's in the 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 60. I will quote a little from this purport. The sadhus in Vrindavan keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, "Come on, come here and take a little milk." Thus envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. You see, even today, I once told you about the sadhu whom I saw. He was going towards Govardhan, a town, and he was always bending down and putting something into the ground. And my curiosity is always there, so I went and watched him from close. And it did not make sense to me in the beginning. He put some grains of sugar, I believe, or something, it looked whitish, into these little holes which are there in the path. So I asked him, there was a devotee with me who knew Hindi, I'm sorry, I'm a little ignorant from the West, what are you doing? And sadhu said, here in Govardhan live so many ants, and I'm putting food for them in their ant holes. I thought, wonderful. Yeah, thank you for telling me. And I remembered how Prabhupada said we should be kind even to an ant. And he said, insignificant ant. Envy develops because of sense gratification. No, I put myself into the center and it's all about me. No? But in Vrindavan there is no sense gratification. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, the man is happy, everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in different capacities, and thus there is no envy. And a little later Prabhupada says, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat, everyone. I must say I'm a little concerned in Vrindavan about the increase in the monkey population. They are becoming so everywhere, you know. They're everywhere. There was an article in the newspaper, I've heard about it. The DM, that is district magistrate, came to Banki Bihari and he had a pair of spectacles, and as he was going, towards the temple, not yet entering the temple,
a monkey came and stole his pair of glasses. And in the end, you know what happens to you when you really need glasses, when it's just a decoration issue. But if you really need it, when you are dependent to read or to see, then it showed how the DM was running after the monkey, leaving all his dignity behind. And then he ordered his security people, six security policemen were running after the monkey to get the DM glasses back. It was very funny. I'm sorry, I cannot perhaps related, but when I saw the picture, it was hilariously. But the monkeys are a pest, They are really developing in great numbers, and they know now how the difference between fruity and Coca-Cola. You have to give them fruity. They like to drink, or I remember we were at Govardhan, had a little bottle of Vedika with me, and all of a sudden 50 monkeys came my way, and one monkey just saw the bottle of Vedika, and he was so trained already, he took the bottle. I said, no, this is my bottle. He just went, okay, it's all right, keep your teeth in your mouth, don't bury it into my skin. He just sat next to me, just totally nonchalantly, opened the Vedika bottle, he knew how to do that, and drank and gave me a mean glance, So I think this is not right, There's so many, and they increase like anything. So I asked my driver, G, should something be done in regards to the monkeys? Like capture them in a cage and drive them to Rajasthan in the desert, somewhere, get rid of them. Maybe in a natural park or something, if there are, or in the wilderness or so on. He said, there in Vrindavan and Thakurji is maintaining them. Times are changing, yes, but there was not a sign of aggressiveness towards in him. And I was surprised. Maybe on a higher level, like the governmental level, some thought could be put, should be put into this. But he understood, I'm a taxi driver, it's not my concern really, and I can live with everyone, let everyone be happy, So this attitude is the Vrindavan attitude, and it should be maintained by devotees. Now I will end my lecture. I hope it is. I will now become very practical. I will recite from Chaitanya Lila. There was once a Brahmana who came to Mahaprabhu, and he said, I see no devotees in this Kali Yuga any longer. Everyone is spoiled, everyone is corrupt, everyone is bad. It can be like sometimes on the internet you see also voices which say, oh, these devotees of Krishna, they are not good, they are bad, and so on. And Mahaprabhu gave him good instructions. He said, Shunu dvija vishakari ye muki bakshana se muke kari jabe amrita grahana. Listen, O Brahmana. By criticizing the devotees, you have taken poison in your mouth. One who has taken poison must drink nectar with the same mouth. If you
do something which is ill, which causes your illness, you must take medicine, no? With the same mouth which has swallowed the bad thing which made you ill, you must take the same mouth and put to the same place that nectar. Then the effect of poison will be neutralized, and by the influence of the nectar, his body will become immortal. Now I will explain the meaning of this, Mahaprabhu said. All the blasphemous statements that you spoke in ignorance are just like taking poison. Now you must constantly drink the supreme nectar of chanting the names and qualities of Krishna with the same mouth. You have spoken all this bad talk. Now put nectar of Krishna's name there. And second, by the same mouth with which you blasphemed the Vaishnavas, you should glorify the Vaishnavas. O Brahmana, go and compose songs and poetry describing the supremacy of the devotees' glories. There is one work in our Gaudiya tradition. It is written by Narahari Shaka Thakur, and it is called Harinamamrita. And it's really interesting. I was purchasing the book. It's a small book, small thing. And it's all about glorification of the various devotees who were there at that time. He is so glorious because he relishes the nectar of the holy name from morning till evening. And it's all about that. And I once gave a lecture about this. And it's maybe 200 verses. And I had thought, well, I had expected something else. This is glorification, the nectar of the holy name. That's what the title says, Hari Namamrita, or Namamrita. And it's all about devotees. But Mahaprabhu here says, O Brahmana, go and compose songs and poetry describing the supremacy of the devotees' glories. I'm telling you the truth. Those who unknowingly blaspheme Vishnu or the Vaishnavas can be delivered from all sinful reactions if they always glorify Vishnu and the Vaishnavas and never again engage in blasphemy. Even millions of atonements cannot deliver them. O Brahmana, now go and describe the glories of the devotees and all your sinful reactions will be destroyed. My dear devotees, I don't think that this should mean that we now enter the mutual adoration society, that we, that is what is going on in the material world. Many people have understood that they are suffering because of bad relationships, and therefore they like in their communications to say niceties about each other. If you want to know a town where this is absolutely practiced, go to London. Everyone says nice things about each other in the public, especially the devotees. But when they turn their back, then they say all kinds of things about each other. No? This is typical in the society. It's a social skill, move, and so on. I don't think we should say meaningless niceties and so on. But when there's something good, some service, we can encourage someone in that service and so on. In educational institutions, it's known You can educate children in two ways. One is you can show them always their mistakes. But the better is catch them doing something good and praise this. And then the children will repeat that. They want to be praised. They want to be liked. And then they will leave the bad things and concentrate more on the good things. That's also for parents who have children, how to educate them. You know? Of course, sometimes we must say, "You, please don't play with fire now. You put it out. It's dangerous for everyone." But you know, in general, increase the good by focusing on the good. And then we glory. There are many wonderful Vaishnavas in our movement. Amongst us, there are many wonderful Vaishnavas, and we can do this. My point is always and has always been: what do you wish in life? If you want to go back home, back to Godhead, if that is on your agenda, or to that sounds a little liberation-like. If you want to develop love for Radha and Krishna, if you want to become a loving devotee, do everything what is necessary and avoid what is unfavorable for this. So this envy is a problem which we all have to confront, because we are in the world. No one falls into a pond and does not get wet. So no one comes in the world and does not become covered and has envy. It is something that is with us, like our nails, our hairs, our teeth, and so on. But for our spiritual life, this is an obstacle, and we can overcome it. First, in a little jnani-like way, everyone is a soul, they are really not the body. Then, as devotees, we can see everyone is engaged in the service of Krishna, and they will become purified after some time. Krishna promises that in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, in the 9th chapter, verse 30, he says, Apichet Sudaracharam, that even if he is doing something really bad, he's on the right path. As long as he serves and is to be considered a sadhu, I would always say a sadhu in progress, you know, a work in progress, but still a work in progress. Gauranga Mahaprabhu takes this a little further. He says, praise devotees. I've also seen in life one thing which I want to say in closing. If you concentrate on the good, more of the good will come. If you concentrate on the bad, more of the bad will come. I've seen this. Those who lament, who complain all the time, always bad things happen to them. Whereas those who are seeing the good and increasing it, always good things happen to them. Always. It seems to be a way how this world is made. Good. I have ended my lecture here. I'm sorry, I'm still a little bit with one leg in India. My mind is not so... I have to wait until my mind comes, you know. Minds travel sometimes slower than bodies. You know, my body was transported by Lufthansa, but my mind is still a little, cannot focus so nicely, a little jet lagged. No? I wanted to say this and want to wish you all the best for this Eastern retreat. Please keep this a little in mind. Yes, you will listen to Hari Parshat and the other speakers, we have a few speakers actually, and there will be many moments where you feel inspired and encouraged and so on. But please, also a retreat doesn't mean just what you do in the lessons. It means also what you do outside of the lessons, no? When there are no lectures or no kirtans or no programs, you know, try to see how you can have a sangha amongst each other, where you encourage each other, where you talk with each other about how things have been in your spiritual development, and you know, like this, and then you will have all around benefit, all around benefit. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any short, let us see what's the time. Any short question? I see one hand has gone up. Our Adishesh Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Adishesh. Nice to see you.
Hare Krishna. Sometimes you might be a little envious about others, but if I listened rightly, it was said in the purport that one can be envious about oneself. In which way does somebody is envious to himself?
Have you heard and understood Adishesh's very, very nice question? It's actually in the verse also. No? Those who are envious of others and envious towards themselves. I was for a long time thinking about it. I heard in our community's words, you first have to love yourself before you can love others and Krishna and so on. And it just did not sit right with me. I don't know, maybe because I had... And then I read a section of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. It's in these collected writing, collected statements, where he says, let me love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me develop love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me develop love for the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Let me develop love for the Holy Name. I thought, yes, I've heard all these prayers many times. And also, let me love myself. What? Who am inclined towards Krishna's service. I thought, well, maybe this is a printing mistake in this copy. Let me look at another copy. And yes, let me love also myself. I can supply you with this quotation. I don't have it at this moment in my notebook. And Adishesh, this is how I understand this. You have practiced Krishna consciousness now, I think, since 40 years perhaps or so. Something around 40 years. You have tried your best. You have given up things which you liked most at that time, you know, food preparations perhaps, or drinking something. You have gotten up early in the morning, although you are not a morning person. You know, you have gone on the street, and although it was cold and people didn't like to take any books and told you to get lost even, you have tried. Doesn't that show something good? You have tried in the service of Krishna, and this part in you should be encouraged. Should be met with affection. Yes, there are other parts in us, like
we don't need to say, you know, there is the comfort lover or whatever. We all know ourselves. But there is this one part who wants to serve Krishna. Shouldn't we support him? Shouldn't we give him facilities? Our Burijan Prabhu, he's Burijan Prabhu, is very wise person, very elderly, very respectable. He said, if you live your life in such a way that you are in harmony with that part who wants to serve Krishna, then that's the ideal life. And that it's that part which Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses. He's not addressing, let me also love the fault finder part in me or whatever. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whatnot. You know, the other parts. And that is something, yes, we as conditioned souls have. We are souls, and sometimes the urge of the soul, the longing of the soul comes through. Or that part, you know, we hear from sadhus, and the part in us says, that I can resonate with, let me go. That needs to be supported. And that's how I understand it. That is how I understand this beautiful or mind-boggling quotation. I'm tempted to go longer, but I think we can come, because there will be so many lectures. You will see. Purnamasi. Your notebook will be full at the end. I think we should end here, because some things need to be still prepared and so on. We start the retreat already at 5 o'clock with Gaur Krishna doing kirtan. If you can come, please do come, if you need to still arrange something. And then at 6 o'clock we start. Hari Prasad and myself will address and give some guidelines for the retreat and what is to come. No? So I thank you very much for listening. I hope you can take something home or something into your life from this lecture, and ask yourself, what do you really want? And then this part in you will come and voice. I already joined the movement for the movement where we want to develop love for Krishna. Okay, let me move in such a way. Let me move with the movement and so on, and overcome the obstacles. Good. Hare Krishna.